darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Welcome to a country called America. Monday, June 10th, 2013, in an area known worldwide as Central Florida, the home of the Zimmerman-Martin trial. Lair Adams for the American Adversaries, Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. Friends, now, have you noticed the scandals from Washington are pelting us continuously like a meteor shower? Now, major companies have admitted they gave the government access to millions of emails, includes Google, without telling their customers. Today, a former guest on our show, actress and conservative warrior Janine Turner, appeared on Fox News to encourage viewers to reread what else? Just what we allude to often, George Orwell's 1984. She brought up two things Mr. Orwell warned us about. Newspeak kind of starts with as a form of political correctness, and the thought police. Now, put your tray table in the upright position. Fasten your seatbelt, because the ride is going to get bumpy. Here's my co-host, Christopher Hart.
You saying I don't know how to drive? I keep getting on the rough side of the road? Okay, folks, welcome to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is drive time this afternoon, and we welcome you to be with us here.
That was the creepy door sound.
Yeah, we have.
We have a squeaky door.
Yeah, we have Halloween sounds going on around here. And anyway, welcome to the show, folks. I want to thank you for being with us this afternoon. Once again, Lair Adams is back in the studio. He was out last night. We had a great show last night. I hope you were able to catch it. If you were not, Jeff Doughty joined us in the studio. Jeff Doughty is a prominent criminal defense attorney, prominent criminal defense attorney here in Orlando, and he is representing the brother of George Zimmerman, Robert Zimmerman. And Robert's not charged with anything. It has nothing to do with that, but Robert has been called to give depositions in this case. And so he sought legal counsel in that situation, which is probably a pretty good thing to do.
Oh, yes.
And considering all the hoopla around this
case.
And
he couldn't ask for a better attorney, that's for sure, with Jeff.
Absolutely. And Jeff came in last night to give us an update on the case. And lo and behold, Robert wanted to come down and talk as well. So Robert Zimmerman was on our show last night.
I had to miss it and not be here.
Of course. But he's a very intelligent fellow. And we tried to put a different sort of face, if you will, on George Zimmerman. We wanted to know, the inside, the family life, if you will, of George Zimmerman. And lo and behold, just what I expected, George Zimmerman has been grossly mischaracterized. Even I would say
vilified.
Well, not even beyond that. He's been made into a cartoon like character. We tried to correct that some last night. If you missed the show or want to hear it again, you can go to Podbean. That's like B-E-A-N, like green bean, but it's Podbean. Go to podbean.com and just type in American Adversaries, and you'll pull up our archive, and last night's show will be there. Or you can find us on iTunes as well. Once again, it was an excellent show. I hope you were able to catch it. We've got an excellent show, I hope, lined up for you again today. However, Tom Tillison is going to be joining us, and he's going to be talking about a guest who's going to be on our show Thursday, who was supposed to be giving a speaking appearance before a certain group of Republicans tonight and was disinvited. I'm talking about Dr. John Matusitz from UCF. Evidently, the people he was supposed to speak in front of, and I'll let Tom fill us in on the details, didn't have the stomach for the truth. So we'll be talking about that with Tom Tillison. We're also going to talk about this NSA situation with Tom Tillison. And then we're going to bring in Billy Allman at the bottom of the hour, along with Noster Dennis. Billy Allman, if you remember, is a Navy SEAL, retired Navy SEAL, 23 years or something like that in the Navy. And he has written the book. It's called When the Bullet Hits the Funny Bone, which has nothing to do with what he's going to talk about today. He has some thoughts about the NSA situation as well that he has gleaned, that he has developed from the people that he talks to. And being a Navy SEAL, he has people that he talks to who are former CIA agents and the like.
Yeah, now you were referring earlier to Professor Matusitz, and I got to tell you, I don't know that I've ever heard him mention anything controversial in that the fact that all he does is speak the truth. He has the facts.
We'll let Tom Tillison fill us in on that story. It was a surprise to me as well. Hmm. By the way, we are not going to disinvite Dr. John Matusitz. He's welcome to be on our show pretty much any time, and he will be here Thursday. And so get ready for that, folks. Make sure you tell your friends if they haven't heard him before. This NSA thing, I first want to kind of give us a little background about it, because I've heard a lot talked about, you know, the revelation, but nobody really say what has changed. Because if you thought that anything you did on the internet, for instance, was private, you got to be really,
yep,
you know,
mm-hmm,
very, very simple-minded. Anything that you do on a computer is recorded by the various companies, be it Google, be it Yahoo, be it whoever. They're all doing it. You have to understand, folks, it's part of the technology. It's called digitalization. And by the way, the Pythagoreans back in 2,500 years ago in ancient, mm-hmm, Greece, they were the first ones to understand that you could basically reduce nature, if you will, into a series of numbers. That's what digitalization is. Digits, numbers. Get
sure
it? What we have done with communications is it is no longer transmitted electronically, per se. In the old days, you know, the old telephones, you actually sent electrical signal through the wires, right? And it vibrated.
English.
And it vibrated the...
Language.
Exactly. But it was all electronic. All right? So to store it, you had to store it basically electronically as a magnetic signal on a tape, for instance. That's all gone. And once the digital age came along, it made recording, transmitting, and storing information, communications, very simply, because you are simply translating it into a series of numbers, a binary code, right? The, mm-hmm, computer code, zeros and ones, all right? But it's a number. What we're talking about...
We've all seen The Matrix.
Literally, right now, what's going on right now, as we are talking through these microphones, somewhere along the line, it's being transcribed into a digital signal. And from that point, it's very easy to store it. All you got to do is put that series of numbers somewhere. It's like you could write it down on a piece of paper,
mm-hmm,
if you wanted to do that, and throw it over in the corner. And then once you put that series of numbers back into the computer, it will produce our voices.
Sure.
As though it were stored on a compact disc.
Sure.
But all it takes is being able to write or transcribe those numbers down somewhere. So once we went to the digital age, privacy went out the window. You understand what I'm saying? Because once all of this was able to be transcribed into numbers, it was very easy to store it. And the phone companies stored it. The computer companies store it. Every mother and their son stores the data, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they have anything to do with data going through their circuits, it gets stored, all right? Now, they can purge their systems of this information if they like, but it's nothing to keep it. All you need is an extra, you know, computer,
sure,
or something to store,
sure,
it in. All right. Having said all that, the NSA has basically been doing this for a long time. That is, storing every single phone call, every single internet, every single email, text message, everything. They've been storing these things for years. As a matter of fact, and I don't know if you remember this, but we found out after soon after 9/11/2001 that a group of military counterintelligence people over in MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, they were working on a certain computer code, and I, Marshall, if you're out there, if you'll text me that code, I can't remember right now. They were working with a certain computer program, and that program mined data that was stored, phone records and the like. And they were able to come up with something like six or eight of the 9/11 hijackers' names and knew that they were probably inside the United States and were going to do something bad. They had all this figured out. They were able to do it from the data that had been stored already. They mined that data. That's basically what's been going on throughout these systems. All right? Now, what has changed and what may be more disconcerting now is they used to store the data basically physically in computers.
Sure.
Or on disks or something like that. Now they're able to use the cloud and all of this sort of thing. In other words, the NSA, through a program called Hadoop, that's spelled H-A-D-O-O-P. Nick, you're going to need to give me two more minutes here, please. Hadoop was a program that was developed out there in Silicon Valley, and it was the name comes from a toy, and I believe it was developed by, I'll look through this article here, I think it was a Yahoo or one of these computer companies that developed this program. And basically what the program enables the NSA or anyone else to do is network computers together to store and then mine this data. Sounds all great, right? Now, here's where the rub comes in. They have all this data, they can mine it, and they can develop these computer programs that can basically predict your behavior. And it sounds kind of far-fetched, but it was done in Iraq. It started in 2010.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
What they did was they took all the information that they were gathering in Iraq, and they discovered, and they took all kinds of information, even the price of potatoes and commodities. And they discovered that there was a correlation between the price of commodities and terrorist activities. And it got to the point where they could, with 60 to 70% accuracy, predict, before they happened, terrorist activity. And it helped us to win the surge, win the Iraq war. They then transferred this technology to Afghanistan. That's all fine and dandy. Now they're transferring this data evidently to us. So no longer is it just simply looking into the past, if you will. Now they can more or less mine this data to look into the future. And this is the scary part about it, because that will be the temptation that they will not be able to withstand. And that will open the door to really all kinds of constitutional problems that they are not yet prepared to deal with.
Well, again, there's so many things in our lives that we want to keep personal. And if the federal government can use those things against us for their own power, what is different than that and what George Orwell talked about in his book?
And once the information is out there, not only will the federal government be able to use it, but also hackers and other people as well.
And the federal government can sell it.
And they can and as a matter of fact, your private information is already being bought and sold on the market.
Oh, yes.
Okay, by computer companies, by advertising companies. The government's only half the problem, if that. Yeah. Once again, it all goes back to the wonders of digitalization. Thank you, Pythagoras, for that. Okay, folks, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Tom Tillison. And you can join us as well. You know the phone number, 407-774-8255.
WORL, Time Saver Traffic.
This update is brought to you by Garmin. We are dealing with delays on the 408 westbound at Orange Avenue due to an earlier accident. I-4 westbound between the 408 and Michigan Street. Also expect to tap those brakes. I-4 eastbound between Conroy Road and John Young Parkway, and delays I-4 eastbound between the 408 and Fairbanks Avenue. Hate traffic? Don't hate. Drive happy. Get a Garmin Newbie with subscription-free HD digital traffic and avoid traffic and construction delays with updates delivered as often as every 30 seconds. Drive with Garmin, the most trusted name in GPS. That's your Orlando area traffic.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart, co-host of The American Adversaries. You know, during the day, I'm a contractor here in Central Florida. That's what I do for work. But what I do on the radio, well, the American Adversaries is my mission. We've got a great audience, and I wanted to take a minute to speak directly to those of you who believe in our mission. We are looking for a select group of category-exclusive sponsors to support this show. There are several different levels of sponsorships, so it can be very affordable, and you'll get great results just like our friend Pasquale from Cafe Positano's. Heck, we'll even name our studio after your business if you want. If you own or run a business in Central Florida and believe in the American Adversaries' mission, give me a call to see if you qualify. If you're interested in learning more, my number is 407-435-4613. If I'm on the air when you call, just leave your name and number. I'm Christopher Hart. American Adversaries is my mission. I hope you'll make it part of yours, too.
For 16 years, Cafe Positano has been famous for blending their traditional Italian family recipes with the latest cuisines. They offer affordable fine dining in the banquet room and more casual dining in the main area. From pizza to specialty dishes and tender, juicy prime rib, everything is made fresh daily, even our sauces. And owner Pasquale Barba promises you'll want to return. Located 4 miles west on I-4 on 436. Phone 407-774-8080.
Cafe Positano is true Italian food, e lo prometto.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
Happy Monday, Central Florida. And folks, if you are driving home, be careful because it looks like the rain is moving from the south to the north. And here in Altamont Springs, it's getting ready to hit any moment. Lots of booms going on. Folks, we have a special guest on the line, Tom Tilson, who's normally here on Fridays, but we got him here on a Monday. But right before we go to Tom, we have a caller that wants to help Chris out and explain what Hadoop is. Brian, I thought Hadoop was something you put on your hair.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, so that super glue that the kids use to spike it. I like that.
First of all, are we even pronouncing the word right? I've never heard of it.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, all right.
You are. It's Hadoop is the correct pronunciation. What it does is Hadoop is an open source database language that allows the categorization of unstructured data. Now, let me explain real fast. In the past, a database was made up of, think of a spreadsheet, okay,
yep,
where you have rows and columns, and every row is a record, and that record is, let's say it's my name, first name, last name, my address, that kind of stuff. So original databases were all columnar, so there's a record, and each field is identified. Well, now you're talking social networking, where we type in comments in text fields, and we just type all these characters, and it's not tied to any record associated with name, phone number, address. It's not structured, okay?
Okay.
So think of the gigabytes and the terabytes. Think of a phone conversation. How are you going to categorize this phone conversation? How are you going to take every word I say and put it in a field in the record?
I take it that's what Hadoop does.
That's what Hadoop does. Hadoop can go in and look at gobs and gobs of text, data, whatever, and it's smart enough to categorize it and begin to put it in different groups. And then there's another program that's used with it called MapReduce, and you do a reduce, and so you bring this thing down into like groupings and categorizations, let's say violent words, or, you know, I'm sure they have categories for terrorist activity words,
sure,
profiling words.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what Hadoop does, is it's very powerful with unstructured data, and it allows them to be able to sort it and filter it and then analyze it.
And basically, they need as large a data pool as possible in order for this to be successful, I take it.
Absolutely. We are in the days of big data where you're talking terabytes of data. But the good thing is, not only have we increased the amount of data we capture, the processing power is significantly greater than it used to be. So they run these things on big parallel processors, and then you put it in the cloud, and sure, it may take time to do, you know, gigaflops of data, but it can do it, and it can spit out, you know, whatever kind of profile, whatever kind of target you were looking for, it can spit it out, and then you can do a reduce and keep filtering it down until you find what you're looking for.
Is this something, in your opinion, Brian, that we should be
using very cautiously or that we should be worried about, or is this something that we should be glad that's going on?
No, it's just like anything, Chris. It's just technology that can be used for good or bad. Hadoop in itself, there's nothing inherently evil about it. What we need to do is be wise about the kind of stuff that we post over electronic communication.
Yeah. So let's say,
in the normal course of things 10 years ago, before social networking, any kind of information I would transpire would probably have to do with something transactional. But now that we have this whole communication medium of blogging and IMing and Facebook, now I'm starting to express opinions and emotions and those kind of things. All right?
Right, sure.
Whereas in the past, it used to be just some sort of an order, a transaction.
Much more benign, mundane, sure.
Well, now when we're putting out everything and anything about what we do, where we are, what we believe, who we like, who we don't like, when we're mad, when we're not, you don't want to broadcast that to the whole world.
Yeah, ultimately, what you're saying is privacy starts at home, more or less, and you're absolutely right about that. That's why we need to talk about these, so at least people will be aware that when they're putting this stuff out there, it's going to be used. It's going to be used to profile them, and it may be for good, and it may be for bad, as you said, Brian. Hey, Brian, have you ever called our show before? Your voice doesn't sound familiar.
No, I may have once a time. I listen to you guys every day. I'm practicing on the way home, but I'm not sure if I have.
Well, I appreciate
it. I don't remember.
I tell you what, Pasquale Barber was in here last night, and he had a handful of gift cards for Cafe Positano. How would you like a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano?
Oh, that would be great. I hear about him all the time. He's on the other side of town, but, hey, I can make it happen if you guys are going to be that generous.
You won't be sorry.
We're going to do it. So you stay on the line, and Nick LaCicero will get your information.
Thank you so
and
much,
we promise
dude.
Not to pass it on to the NSA. Not that it matters. They already got it in. Anyway.
So now the IRS is
going to
call me.
No, they won't. Okay, thank you, Brian. We appreciate you. Okay.
Thanks for calling in. Now, folks, now we only have a minute and a half left to talk to our special guest, but we're going to hold him over through the break. I hope. Tom, how are you, buddy?
Hey, how are you?
There you are. We're doing great. Listen, Tom, what are they saying about our good friend Professor Matusitz? This is ridiculous. The Republican Party doesn't want him to speak.
Well, he was scheduled to appear tonight at the Pinellas County Republican Executive Committee meeting. They were going to do a segment prior to their monthly meeting and have the doctor, go through his normal program. But apparently some of the members took exception to that and they started a process that led up to him being disinvited. The Tampa Bay Times did an article. They referred to his presentation as anti-Islam. One of the members of the Pinellas County REC referred to it as bashing a religion. And basically, they decided that it was not appropriate, and they disinvited him.
And this, I take it, was based on what? I don't know. I shouldn't say I take it. What was it based on that they made this... Well, I'm sorry, Tom. We're going to have to go to the break. But when we come back, we'll talk more about this. And again, we'll be talking more about the NSA thing. That's Tom Tillison of BizPack Review.
That's right, folks. It's another example of silence the truth. Yeah, it's all Professor Matusitz is doing. He's trying to educate people on what the truth is about this religion. He doesn't make a thing up. Since when can we not listen to the truth? We are the American adversaries. We stand for the truth.
For 16 years, Cafe Positano has been famous for blending their traditional Italian family recipes with the latest cuisines. They offer affordable fine dining in the banquet room and more casual dining in the main area. From pizza to specialty dishes and tender, juicy prime rib, everything is made fresh daily, even our sauces. And owner Pasquale Barba promises you'll want to return. Located 4 miles west on I-4 on 436, phone 407-774-8080.
Cafe Positano is true Italian food, e lo prometto.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL.
And we're back. That's right, folks. And it is, the thunderstorms are kicking in out there, so keep that in mind. If you need to go somewhere, you might want to wait a little while. If you're already out on the roads, please drive safely. Okay, well, when we get back to our guest, I'm Christopher Hart, along with Lara Adams. We have Tom Tillison of BizPack Review on the line, and he's talking about Dr. John Matusitz, who's going to be on our show Thursday, talking about the threat of the Muslim Brotherhood. Evidently, his message wasn't welcome at the GOP, and you said that was the GOP Executive Committee in Pinellas County?
That's correct. Home of Charlie Crist, Pinellas County.
I mean, Charlie Crist isn't even in the party anymore. I mean, but obviously that branch of the Republican Party over there is sort of left-leaning, I would take it.
Well, they call it the left coast, Chris.
Yeah, okay, I get you. But Lair made a good point. I mean, the man is doing nothing but going around and talking about what this religion is all about. And he's not distorting it. He's talking about it factually. And if these people can't face up to that, maybe they need a new executive committee over there in Pinellas County.
Well, you know, his program is called The Islamic Threat to America, and I've attended a couple of his seminars, and it's a straightforward, no-nonsense look at terrorism in America. He looks at Islam in a very honest way. You know, the doctor's from Belgium. He's lived in Europe, and he's, you know, experienced that multiculturalism that's going on in Europe right now. So he's, you know, he is well qualified to speak on the issue. It's just that the moderate wing of the party over there, their concern was that his presentation would alienate potential Muslim voters, potential minority voters who would see him as being, antagonizing or divisive in his theories and his ideas.
In other words, they were afraid. They were afraid. They gave in to political correctness. Is in essence what you're telling me here.
Well, there's several possibilities. Political correctness could be one of them. You know, it could be that very thing that we saw just recently over in Britain, where they were a couple of Muslim extremists were trying to or attempted to behead a British soldier. That's the end result of political correctness. And we could be on that path here in America. Or, you know, it could be, you know, there's a very active CARE branch in the St. Pete, Tampa area. CARE being the Council of Islamic Relations.
Yeah.
And it could be the influence that CARE is having on local politics. So, you know, it's not sure, possibly, there's one other option, is his association with the Tea Party.
Well, Tom, I got to tell you, I think you're partially right here as far as them thinking they may get votes out of this, but the Republican Party is never going to get the Muslim vote. So to me, it's like a total no-brainer.
Well, the doctor did a letter. He responded to a local blogger down there who called him out, and he wrote a letter, and he pointed that very fact out. That like 85% of the Muslims in America voted for Barack Obama. You know, they are not voting Republican.
No, not likely they're going to be doing much of that.
So you're not going to lose the people you never had in the first place.
All right. Hey, Tom, I want you to stay on the line with me, but I want to redirect the conversation to this NSA business. And I want to bring in another guest, and this would be Billy Allman. Billy Allman, folks, if you'll recall, was just on our show a couple of weeks ago, and I hope he'll be back on a regular basis as well. But he is a Navy SEAL, retired, and he has many contacts still in the spy versus spy world, if you will. So he has some insight on this NSA business. Welcome back to the show, Billy. We appreciate you being there for us.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on your show again. Thank you.
All right. I read a piece that you wrote, and you think that this NSA thing is it's a bunch of skullduggery. In other words, it's not good, and that this is just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, exactly. What I think this is, it's pretty much what Obama is doing, and his cohort is subverting slowly the Constitution of the United States, and he's also pretty much tracking down all those who oppose to him, that are opposing him, and setting up check valves, if you will, in various areas of the government to monitor who is against his policies, you know, who doesn't go along with his ideologies, and none of it is any good.
What concerns me about all this is when you look at this in conjunction with, for instance, the IRS and the EPA and what they're doing, All right. Now, for instance, the Wall Street Journal is in support of this program, and I've heard the likes of Michael Medved and Mike Gallagher in support of this program, what I'm talking about, what the NSA is doing, because it prevents, quote-unquote, terrorist acts. But they are looking at it, I think, alone and isolated. And we have to look at this in light of what's going on at the IRS. And I think that's what you're saying, is that the NSA would be used like the IRS has been used to target political opponents.
Well, and everybody feels uncomfortable, Chris, with the idea of, hey, you know, someone you're personal with, a phone conversation with them, these items that you just want totally between you and someone else. You don't want even the idea that Big Brother's listening in on it. And especially recording it.
Billy, your thoughts.
Well, my thought on it is this. The NSA, and it's a great organization, and they've been doing this for a number of years. And what they do is they identify certain buzzwords that are out there. Terrorist, bomb, IED, president, whatever it is. Those buzzwords get picked up on, and all of a sudden they're monitored. So they'll key into that conversation because of the buzzwords that are out there. So when you start getting away from that and you start monitoring other things, like people, like all of a sudden it's Tea Party or it's Republican or it's I don't like Obama or anything along those lines, who switched those keywords? Who implemented that idea to switch the keywords? And why are you getting off what your doctrine is supposed to be? Why are you getting away from that? Why are you now turning to the United States and monitoring conversations within the United States on the telecommunications network system, also on the internet? I mean, if you're going to start controlling, you know, free speech, how people go about conducting research on items and start looking into them on what is their political alignment, then you've gotten away from your charter and within the NSA, you know, way off base. And it goes down to who's watching the watchers.
Well, that's just it. You know, you have Janet Napolitano saying, for instance, that Tea Party groups and returning Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans are terrorists, potential terrorists. That's where it can be misused. That's what I'm talking about. That's mm-hmm. what Billy is talking about mm-hmm. here, changing who we're actually targeting away from the Muslim extremists to groups who we hear would see as political extremists.
Even individuals, Chris, that would say, you know, talking to me, calling you on the phone and saying, you know, I think our country's wrong, our government is wrong, somebody did this, and using that all of a sudden.
And you say that that's what's getting ready to happen here, don't you, Billy?
Yes, I do. Yeah, and it's obviously it is. I mean, this gentleman, Snowden.
Snowden,
yeah. He's coming out and speaking against it. There's some things that have pros and cons about Mr. Snowden. From what I hear, that he was a high school dropout, but he got his GED. He learned computer program, and he becomes a system analyst. He worked for the CIA. He got hired by Booz Allen as a contractor for the NSA, you know, holding a position as a supervisor. Well, good on him. But some of the things to consider within that is, you know, for working for the CIA, you must pass a polygraph test, you know, and you must be cleared to top secret. Even janitors are cleared to top secret level. And why are janitors cleared? They dump the trash cans. There's some sensitive material in the trash cans. All trash, as far as I know, gets either shredded or burned within the CIA. And all those guys that handle it have to have a top secret clearance. So when you get hired, you know, by Booz Allen as a contractor for NSA, you know, you might have your security clearance validated once again because it is a security organization, national security. And then just because you have a top secret clearance, that doesn't mean that you have access to all top secret information. You know, you must have a need to know to have access to secret information. But that doesn't stop you from overhearing conversations that are going on in the halls, in offices, things that come across your desk, you know, that you need to add your signature to or review. It doesn't stop any of that. So based on those things, you know, I give a lot of credence to Mr. Snowden, you know, the information that he's divulging, because our government is looking to take this guy down and charge him with treason.
Oh, yeah.
If he was just some low-level guy that was an analyst, you wouldn't even hear about this. This guy would be jailed or...
He'd disappear.
he just disappeared. But obviously, he's got some really dynamite information. And it's going to be very telling because the administration has gone full court press on this guy to try and silence him, get a hold of him, charge him with treason, and stop him from speaking anymore.
Hey, I want to bring in Tom Tillison, who's a regular on our show, Billy. And Tom, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you have any questions or comments for Billy Allman?
Because I'm hearing a lot, particularly today, about credit card information, that this the scope of this is a lot wider than people are thinking, and it is involving credit card activity. Is there any truth to that, in your opinion?
Yeah. What I'm aware of about credit card information is, if you have a Wi-Fi signal on your credit card, that means anybody can come up and monitor your credit card or download the information about your credit card number, your Social Security number, whatever you filled out on your application for your credit card. So what will probably be is your address, your date of birth, things like that. And from your date of birth, I can get your Social Security number, or I can do a background check on you with either date of birth or Social Security number.
But
those are things that you can really get from a credit card.
Yeah, but is the NSA monitoring all these credit card transactions? Is that part of what their data mining is all about? I'm sorry.
I really don't know that they are or not. It seems logical that they would, because if you are doing it to monitor terrorist movement, terrorist organizations, you would definitely want to be able to know what they are buying, where they're buying it from. I mean, it goes back to tracking credit card receipts for, rent cars, rent trucks. Did they buy, ANFO, ammonium nitrate, the fertilizer stuff that is used to making ANFO and things like that? Those are paper trail type things that you want to be able to monitor and see where they came from or where they're actually storing the stuff, things like that. So, To me, it's logical that they would do that.
All right. I'd like to bring on Nostradennis now. Nostradennis, thank you for joining us here. And your question for Billy Allman.
I've got to tack on to what Billy said about the NSA and clearance. My stepbrother was actually a chef in the NSA's offices outside of D.C. And he liked to joke that he could tell us what he was serving for lunch today, but then he would have to kill us. That's a joke, but it is true that every person inside of that organization needs to be vetted at all levels. And I'm just wondering whether this fellow running around Hong Kong right now has anything left of a life after doing this.
Well, Billy, are you still there? All right, we lost Billy. There's a lot of lightning activity going on around the station here.
We're
having to deal with that. So we will get Billy Allman right back. Tom Tillison, you've been in the news business a long time. You've been dealing with communications, and you don't necessarily even invite privacy because you want people to see what you're writing and things. But what do you think about this NSA thing? I mean, because on the one hand, you got like the likes of Glenn Beck who are saying, hey, this shouldn't be going on. This is an invasion of our privacy. This is Big Brother. And then you got the likes of Michael Medved and the Wall Street Journal who are saying, hey, this is an effective way to fight Muslim terrorists. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting that this comes to light right on the heels of the IRS scandal.
Yep.
Because what the IRS scandal teaches us is that we cannot trust this government.
That's my point, yeah.
We look at what they're doing, and it comes back to that question of how much of our liberty do we trade for security. And in this example, in this case, my first question is, if they're doing this, and they have been doing this for so long, how did these guys up in Boston pull that whole thing off?
Exactly.
Why did that not work there? Secondly, if you've got somebody working for the NSA who's got a treasure trove of highly classified information, how in the hell does he end up in Hong Kong and we don't know about that?
And all that proves to me is that nefarious characters can find their way into the CIA and the NSA, and they would have access to all this information. And then, hey, Tom, we got to go to a break, but stay with us. And you too, Nostra Dennis, and we're trying to get Billy Allman back. Folks, we're the American Adversaries. We'll be right back.
This is Marilee from Vacation Travel Planners, bringing you the travel deals of the week. Like Holland America is offering double onboard credit on their European sailings. Rates starting as low as $5.99 per person. How about an Alaska cruise? For 7 nights, starting as low as $3.49 per person. Book one of NCL's newest ships, the Breakaway or the Getaway, and receive a $50 onboard credit. Royal Caribbean has several specials going on, like free upgrades or onboard credit. And the new Quantum of the Seas is available for booking on June 4th. Unless you're a Crown and Anchor member, then you can book now. What's your cruisitude? Now through June 18th, visit our website or Facebook page to be entered to win $1,000 toward a future vacation. Just tell us where you'd like to go. Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Oh, yeah. Keep listening for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American Adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
Okay, folks, here we go. Once again, there's a lot of static and lightning out there, so be very careful if you're outside or going outside. You are listening to the American Adversaries. Christopher Hart, Lair Adams live with you in the studio. We have Nostra Dennis on the line. We have Tom Tillison, our man with Biz Pack Review. You can find his work on bizpackreview.com. We also have Billy Allman on the line with us. And by the way, folks, he wrote a really great book. It's called When the Bullet Hits Your Funny Bone, and you can find it on Amazon at the bookstores, and you can even go through our website to order it from Amazon. And I want to welcome you back to the show. We lost you there for a minute, Billy. And we were talking while you were away with Tom Tillison. He made the observation that I was trying to make, and that is that in light of the IRS and how the confidential, quote-unquote, information that the IRS deals with, we see now how it can be misused. What's to make us think that this NSA information could not be misused as well? I heard one person say that basically in the right hands, this can be, you know, a very effective tool to fight terrorism. In the wrong hands, it can be a turnkey operation to tyranny. In other words, you already have all this information on all of us citizens, which could very easily be used against us. Is that something that we should fear, Billy?
I don't think you should fear your government, but it's starting to turn that way. And, you know, this government, you know, by the people, for the people, you know, we're the ones that elect them. We're their bosses, not the other way around. It's totally wrong. It's totally getting abused, the abuse of power in all the different positions is so outrageously wrong. It's something that they can definitely use against the people, no doubt about it. The other thought that I had on this, too, is when can any of us remember, even if you're young, talk to your dads or your granddads, but, you know, anybody, when can you ever remember so many scandals under one president? I mean, if they had honor, if they had integrity, the Obama administration and even Obama himself, you would not have all these scandals going on right now. I mean, to ask the people to trust you, you know, you don't ask people to trust you. What you do is you do all the right things with honor and integrity, and the people will begin to trust you.
You earn that. You have to earn that trust, and this administration certainly has not done that.
Well, Chicago-style politics.
Exactly. Billy, I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to go around and have the other fellows ask you a question, too, because we've got 5 minutes left. My question is this. The Wall Street Journal today basically says, hey, you may not like this, but if we don't do this, it's going to be much worse. We're going to have another 9/11, and then you're going to have national ID cards. Well, we're going to have that with Obamacare anyway. Then you're going to have curfews, surveillance drones. We're going to have those anyway. And even mass roundups of ethnic or religious groups. Well, we're not too far away from that. In other words, they're saying, you know, like it or not, this is better than the alternative. Is that an accurate depiction, or can we fight this war against Muslim extremism in some other fashion that doesn't violate our civil liberties and make us live a life that we're actually sort of giving in to the terrorists, if you will?
What's happened is everybody is becoming so politically correct, you know, that you can't do profiling because you're going to offend them. Hey, they're the enemy. Go ahead and offend them. Where does most of the terrorism occur? Who's doing most of the terrorism within our country and overseas? It's the Muslims. So, yeah, go ahead and target them. You know, when they go through an airport with a veil, the females, you know, they're totally covered up. You can't touch them. Only certain designated areas can you touch them. Everybody else, take off your shoes, take off your belt, take off your watch, take off your clothes, you know, step right through the invisible scanner and let me look at everything, you know?
Yeah.
Not them.
That's my point. We're the ones who are suffering, not the terrorists, you know?
That's exactly right.
All right.
And we shouldn't be. You can't fight the terrorists, you know, without having to give up your freedoms to do this.
Well, Tom Tillerson.
Don't buy into this.
I'm sorry, Tom. Yeah, Tom made such an excellent point. Where was all this information? How much good was all this information in stopping the Boston bombings? So really, the I don't see the bang for the buck. I mean, we're losing our privacy, and I don't see we're really going to get that much for it.
No, we're not.
All right, Tom Tillerson, one final question for Billy Allman.
Well, you know, we heard recently about the FBI basically going through their training materials and you know,
purging,
if you will, of anything that would be offensive to Muslim, to Islamic extremists. My question is that same mentality present in the NSA? I would imagine that it is, correct?
Yeah, it's being removed. Like, you cannot have in the training manuals for the FBI, Al-Qaeda was removed, you know, because it's offensive to Muslims. You know, you're connecting them. You see a Muslim, Al-Qaeda, you know. I'll turn it around back on them. If you're not doing anything wrong, then you don't have anything to worry about, you know. So, but I'm not going to give up my freedom, give up my privacy, give up every little freedom that I have just because you're politically offended by what I think and what I say and how I look at you.
Well, real quickly, Billy, has the NSA done the same thing as the FBI with their training manuals and things?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Nostradamus, you'll get the final question here for Billy Allman. Nostradamus at headquarters.
Thanks. Billy, this NSA whistleblower, Edward Snowden, his life for all intents and purposes is just about over. But if he ends up becoming the spy who came in from the cold, do you think we are ever going to hear his testimony in open court or hearings? Or do you think something's going to happen and we're not going to hear from this guy again?
I think he'll disappear.
That's what Lair said.
I don't think you're going to hear anything because, you know, you can say executive privilege, and you can say all these briefings due to the nature of them are going to be classified, and it's all going to be shielded from the public, you know, or they can draw it out. We're going to lock them up and let time pass on, you know, to have the court date move, and then. Because people in the United States are very forgetful. They, you know, time passes, they forget things, how it actually was. So, yeah, I expect this guy to disappear.
He's going
to
fall in a hole.
All right, well, Billy, we're all out of time, but I hope you'll come back. So I'm sure we're going to have more to talk about this and other subjects of like matter, and we appreciate your opinion.
Anytime.
Thank you
Anytime.
So very much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And Tom Tillerson, same goes for you. We sure appreciate your opinion and all the hard work you're doing out there. And thanks for the heads up on that Jonathan Matuszek story.
Good. I'll be listening in for that interview on Thursday.
And I'll be seeing you here, and then Nostradamus will be seeing you here at the Eastside Tea Party, who's getting together over there at the Waterford Lakes at 7 o'clock. So if you're on the east side over there, head on over to the Waterford Lakes, and we'll see you at the Tea Party and that's going to be in Unit 104. Okay, folks, that's going to do it for tonight.
Absolutely. The American Adversaries has started off another week for your pleasure, your listening pleasure, of course. And again, don't forget, we're here 5 to 6 o'clock Monday through Friday. Sunday nights, 5 to 8, you have us for a three-hour tour. We are the American Adversaries, the best in political professional wrestling, and we're going to be following the Zimmerman case.
And Abe Katzman will be joining us tomorrow. Night, everybody.